where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
It's 12:15 at News Radio 560 KPQ. 26 degrees in Wenatchee this afternoon at this time. And it's cold, so bundle up and consider this. What do we call something that is part of the present but is also part of the future? Do you call it the pre-future? I don't know. What do you imagine tomorrow will be like based on what you don't see today? I don't know. So make a guess. Structure your entire company to function as an integral part of something that does not exist but will be used by many by tomorrow. Now, what's it going to be? I don't know. Furthermore, who will be used? What's going to be used by many? What's going to enter the marketplace? What's going to gain momentum and successfully enter everything, including the future? And is going to be financed? Well, what we need is a great, what we need in the great beyond that has not been brought to our fruition as of today. I mean, look around. Look at all the stuff we have. Is there more stuff we need? Yes. Will we need it if we don't have any right now? Yes. What is it? I don't know. Think of chips for your pets. Well, we have those. How about the Waze traffic reports? No, they have that. Do you remember when there was no app store? Yes, but there is one now. How about fantasy football? There is plenty of fantasy football. How about day trading on Wall Street at Wall Street speed? Done. How about an app that turns your phone into a flashlight? Yeah, everything you've thought of has already been done. How about the days before venture capital ever came to the Valley? Can you remember that? When no one can peer into the future, and yet that is precisely what we expect today's entrepreneurs to do. Look in the future, figure it out, and build something that we don't need yet. Go forth, young minds. Invent the future, because we need you to help your fellow man. To make a profit, the tech industry does not suffer failure very well. Which is kind of weird, because many a monster success story always begins with a failure. Maybe a big one, maybe a small one. The entrepreneur has to really hit bottom or just strike out before reaching the heights. Which brings to mind Guata. G-W-A-T-A. Guata. Can you say that? The Greater Wenatchee Area Technology Alliance. I don't know. What did he say? Guata. It may sound like an amphibian with a poisonous sweat gland, but it is most certainly not anything like that. No, not at all. That's not right. Here we go. Radio 560 KPQ, it's The Agenda. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Jenny Rosenasathian. She's the head woman, the head executive at Guata, the General Wenatchee Area Technology Association.
Greater Wenatchee Area Technology Alliance. But it's okay. We just go by Guata now because it's a lot simpler.
Because everyone can Guata and no one, and everyone seems to understand that. Let's go back to the very beginning before there was a Guata. What was the atmosphere for technology in the Wenatchee Valley, and how did you start following it?
Well, what I would say, so Guata was formed in 1999 as a vehicle and an
app. Pretty early days.
Yeah, and as a group of business leaders who are passionate about the outroll of fiber in the community and working with partners like NOAANet and the PUDs and local service providers to really communicate what are the benefits of this new technology, which was fiber at the time, so that we could be competitive. And over the years, from 1999 to now, we've transformed with the needs of our community. So Guata is really proud to bring awareness, education, and connections in terms of everything from fiber to cybersecurity to social media. So as times have changed, so have we.
And now would you say that you devote most of your time to helping companies get their footing in town and become part of the community?
You know, I would say our time is split between our three focus areas. So we're focused on technology, entrepreneurship, and STEM education. And I would say, you know, in terms of STEM, for example, what we've seen over the years is we need to make sure that we have a workforce pipeline for these careers in technology.
Is it there yet?
It's not there yet, but we're working hard. We are really proud to partner with our school districts to bring awareness to not only educators who are in the classroom and students, but to parents, the community at large, and to promote things like the WSOS scholarship. It had just ended. It's for STEM majors. 22,000 $500 scholarship.
That's nice.
And last year we had 48 students from our region receive that scholarship. So every year we're trying to promote more students into these career paths so that we can fill local jobs. So again, STEM education was an addition to the mission of our 501c3, but was really driven by the need for workforce development to support technology and to support growing companies.
Is it fair to say that even with the endeavors of the educational system, the student emerging from college may still not be fully trained for to take a job in technology?
Absolutely. I mean, I think technology is consistently changing. I think one of the things that we're really passionate about supporting is project-based and problem-solving learning, so that you're teaching not necessarily a memorization of any one subject, but how do you think critically? How do you have the skills to work in a team, to work collaboratively, and to solve the next problem? So we want to prepare students to be problem solvers, to be able to work with others. You know, there's a lot of soft skills involved with teaching STEM education. It's not just, the facts of the matter. And so that's really important, I think, because technology changes, and so does our economy.
Have you noticed, in fact, there's a special coming up on some network this week that men and women at the college level are being trained together, but it's the men who seem to enter the workforce and the women are not there in the same numbers. I wonder if that's the case in Wenatchee Valley, and can we help that?
You know, I can't speak to the specific demographics of are we seeing more men versus women. I think it's really important to highlight all of the career opportunities and make sure that that's presented in the same framework when we're working with students, you know, that we're not have a gender bias when we are working with our youth as far as, you know, do they want to be a mechanical engineer? Do they want to be a computer scientist? Do they want to be a nurse? All of these professions are not just built for one gender, obviously, right? Men and women alike. So I think that's always important in the work that we're doing.
Now let's take a look at some of the events that are coming up in March. Because, by the way, the members of GWATA, are they pretty far-ranging and wide-ranging throughout the Valley?
They are. So we have 150 business members that support our nonprofit. Some of these business members are a one- or two-person team, so small family companies.
That's not uncommon, right?
That's not. We've got a thriving entrepreneurship community, a lot of small businesses here. And then some are our largest employers in town, so we're really grateful for that. Thing to know if you're listening in is that GWATA's events are almost always either free or low cost to participate, because as a 501c3, our job is to educate and inform and get people connected. So like Tech Talk and Happy Hour, that's this Thursday at Badger Mountain Brewery, 4:30 to 6. It's a free event for everyone, but if you're a GWATA member, you get a beer on us. So it's a little benefit of being a GWATA member.
Do these things start quietly and then people start to interact and finally understand what trading secrets and ideas and experiences is all about?
Well, the one thing I will say is that we started Tech Talk and Happy Hour about 2 years ago with about 5 or 10 people who would come down to the brewery. And now we're it's more like 40 to 50 plus, and it's getting Great. Really big. So we're excited for that.
And do they actually trade secrets, trade ideas, trade information?
Yeah, so how we have it set up is we have three tables at every Tech Talk. So two different speakers. This month it's GTC Technical Support at one table. Another table is Mission Ridge. And the third table says, I'm just here for the beer. So that way, if people don't feel like they're tech savvy, which I hear a lot, people sometimes think, oh, it's a technology alliance, so I need to be super technical in order to participate. You don't. That's part of our goal, is to bring awareness. And so you can circulate amongst the three tables, or if you're too intimidated to go talk to the speaker, you have the backup networking spot, which is the beer table. So we're excited. You know, GTC Technical Support is a technology business, a call center located here in downtown Wenatchee. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary.
Wow.
They are also doing a tech tour, which we can talk about later with us later on this month. And then Mission Ridge, they've used Google platforms and Google tools to really get the data on the ground out to all of their teams. And so they've taken a platform, which is for the most part free. There's a small monthly subscription to have a Google account. And transformed how they do operations. So Mission Ridge is going to be sharing how they've used technology to improve operations.
And there's a perfect example of how someone would say, Mission Ridge? No, that's not tech. What could be technical about it? When in reality, their communication with the community is enhanced by their use of technology.
Absolutely. They're doing their snow report. They're uploading it to Google Docs. It's getting out to everyone on the team. It loads up to the website. And then you know how the conditions are. And that's all through a Google platform. They're also taking that through to their maintenance team so that they can track, you know, service orders and issues. And, you know, Mission Ridge is a credible asset for our community. They really work with a pretty smart and nimble team. And this is the way that they've used technology to, you know, to save money, to be more productive. So I think that's a story that we can all relate to, that we don't all have money in our businesses for really high-end, customized software, but there are tools out there that you can use to improve operations.
And of course, their phones are probably ringing off the hook. What's the conditions? And now they can push them to you. You don't have to call.
That's right. They've got great information on their website. They've got great communications with their team, all thanks to technology.
Staying up with technology, which is one thing that the people at the Tech Talk and Happy Hour are a little ambivalent about. There's no way to stay up with all the technology. So even people who are up to their neck in technology always find something new, and their attitude is always, show me what you got.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Tech Talk and Happy Hour is a great catalyst for conversations, right? You meet someone new in the community, you learn about something you've never heard about before, and then you can, you know, take the opportunity to do research, to follow up, or maybe even do business together. So it's a great outlet.
The entrepreneurial spirit of the average tech person is first and foremost, it's the one thing that keeps them as individuals, even though they're part of a big swooping technology sweep across the country. So the entrepreneurial panel on the March 19th will deal with what? Bravery? how to be a brave entrepreneur?
Yeah, well, I mean, all of our entrepreneurs have that element, don't they? Because
right.
They're willing to take the risk.
They have a vision.
Absolutely. To do something that hasn't been built before or do something better, right? So our theme of our entrepreneurial panel is the business owners 35 and under. So we do 3 panels a year. Each time we try to take a different group of entrepreneurs from our community. And this one, kind of in the spirit of the Wenatchee's top 30 under 35, we thought, let's feature business owners under 35. What are their unique challenges in terms of raising capital? What pushed them to go to the entrepreneur route so young in life? And so we're really excited to share their story or let them share their story with the Guada audience and the community.
It's a funny thing about being called to this, as you describe it, as so young in life. If you want to get an MBA in this country, you have to, one, have great grades in college and then go into the workforce and learn what the real world is all about, and then they train you to be an MBA. Now, a lot of entrepreneurs don't want that step. They want the educational gifts of being an MBA. They want the ability to raise money that an MBA would have, but they don't want that extra time in school. So they have to learn how to find money out there, and that's not easy.
It's not easy, and there's no singular path for any entrepreneur or these entrepreneurs on the panel. They each have a unique story.
Isn't that hilarious? There's no real path. It's like uninvented territory.
It is, and that's why it takes a collective community, I believe, in order to allow small businesses to thrive, because we have a community here in North Central Washington where we patron small businesses and we support them, and we have organizations like our nonprofit at Guada who is willing to find resources and help do some outreach. I also have to give a shout out to, there's other organizations in town, the Economic Development District, the Chamber, the College. We're so lucky to have a community that really supports entrepreneurs.
There was that incubation project at Pybus Market that was started. How's that going?
That is going great. So Subsplash is at the Pybus Market tech incubator. They are a software company based out of Seattle that opened a second location here. We're really lucky to have Subsplash partner with Guada and also now serve on the board. And so they're doing great. I definitely encourage people to get in touch with them, see what they're doing. I know that they're always open to bringing the community in. Brian Beaumont's on our board, and so happy to refer out.
The road that we cannot find that leads to entrepreneurial money, where would it start if you were to give some advice to a young entrepreneur who needs startup funds and operating funds? Got to be bold.
I know. Nice job putting me on the spot here. So I think, first of all, it depends on what your business plan is, because there are some models that are traditional bank lending, and we've got a lot of banks in the community that invest in small businesses. There's also small business loans out there. If you're building something that's never been done before, where you might need early stage seed capital from like an angel investor, that might be a different route. I think the biggest piece of advice I could give is to prime yourself with connections, because it is the connections and the power of knowing people that's going to help you open doors or find the answers that you need.
Do entrepreneurs find themselves hesitant to go to a bank when they need X amount of dollars, thinking that the bank is going to be too conservative or perhaps unexperienced with something in line with their product?
I have not experienced that, because entrepreneurs, as we talked about, have to be brave,
right?
So
yeah.
They're out there pushing their vision, their business, and they're going to ask the hard questions. They're going to put themselves on the line and ask for funding. But the other thing that I would say is that because they're brave and they're willing to take risk, a lot of time they're putting their own capital on the line before they get to that point, because they're trying to do everything that they can to propel themselves forward.
Some people say if you're going to use investment money, make sure that it's not your own. But in this case, what choices do they have, right?
Right. Again, it definitely depends on what they're going. But that's why GWADA has helped create the Flywheel Angel Network, which is a group of angel investors in our community, because as you talked about, that early stage seed funding for companies that or products that don't exist on the market yet is very critical. Angel Networks exist in Silicon Valley and Seattle and all across the country and world, but we didn't have one collectively here, and we do now. So the Flywheel Angel Network is a new resource.
Let's find out more about that when we come back. Our special guest is Jenny Rosenasathian. She's the head of GWATA, the Greater Wenatchee Area Technology Association. Agenda.
Alliance.
There you go. And there's a big event coming up that has to do with putting together your fundamentals for angel investing. It used to be called venture capital. Well, I guess it still is. But if you really have a venture, then this is something you must listen to. We'll be back right after these words on News Radio 560 KPQ.
But with a smile. I wondered if they only treated me that way because of this endorsement. But no, they treat everyone like royalty. Avanta Dental in Ellensburg and Yakima. Tell them I sent you.
News Radio 560 KPQ. The show is called The Agenda. I'm Michael Knight. My very special guest is Jenny Rosenasathian from GWATA, the Greater Wenatchee Area Technology Alliance.
That's right.
You got it. GWATA, G-W-A-T-A. Coming up on March 25th, the fundamentals of angel investing. And this is really exciting to me because I think it's an idea in our minds that is changing in terms of how many people really support the alliance or the future of technology, especially here in Wenatchee.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really want to encourage the community. The fundamentals of angel investing, it's March 25th. It's the morning seminars, 8:30 a.m. until noon, and then there's a lunch. And you don't have to be an investor. You could be an entrepreneur, a professional service provider, or a community member who's just interested in this topic and wants to learn more. So it's a very accessible class and an important topic to learn about. What's interesting about angel investing that I've learned as I built this process is that a lot of people qualify to become an angel investor. So the Securities and Exchange Commission, the federal government, defines who can be an angel investor, which is defined by them as an accredited investor. And an accredited investor is someone who makes over $200,000 a year as an individual, $300,000 a year as a couple, or has $1 million in net worth assets, not including their primary home. So when you look at a lot of individuals in our community over the course of their lifetime, they've accrued that net worth, or they're in an income bracket on an annual basis that their salary meets it. So what I like to really highlight is that accredited investors or angel investors, they're not necessarily individuals who are the mega wealthy that are not working, that are exclusive in any capacity. These are people that are working in our community. They're business leaders. They're longtime Wenatchee residents or North Central Washington residents, and they've gotten to a financial position where they can put some high-risk dollars to use to support entrepreneurs.
And high risk.
That's right.
Yeah.
So angel investing, these are not this is not money that you want to take and put in like your 401k, right? This is a high-risk investment. Most angel investments fail. But if you play the numbers right, if you make enough investments, then what they have found over time is that not only do you get your money back, but you make money. So it's about diversification of your investments.
And when the angel investors started here in the Wenatchee Valley, their own brand of funding startups or adding funding to a group that's already been in business for a while, what was their reaction? Did they see immediate returns? Did they see it was a fun thing to do? Did they find that they want to continue doing it? What's the return?
Yeah. So all of the above. So the one thing I'd say, our angel investor group, they made an investment in a company called Cartogram, which does indoor mapping. So it's a software company. Their primary application is inside of hospitals so that you can wayfind on your cell phone, how do I get to cardiology? Or how do I find the nutritionist? And that company is based in Seattle. They're doing very well. These investments are usually over 5 to 7 years before a company gets an exit and sells. But Cartogram continues to be successful, and we're really hopeful. The investors in our group, not only did they like their investment choice, but most importantly, they were really excited to support the economic development of our region. A bonus was they had a lot of fun doing it. They learned a lot on the way. And as far as wanting to do it again, well, they've all signed back up. So we have a Flywheel Conference 2019, in which we have over 100,000 again to award to an early stage company. So we're doing something right because they've all come back around to make another investment.
When you take on an angel investor, are they part of your workforce? Do they check out what's going on regularly and depending on the investor?
Not only yes, they do, but I would say they are still in the workforce. So almost all of the investors that I'm working with in North Central Washington are business owners, are community leaders. They're still actively employed themselves. And that's one of the things that I mentioned before is sometimes when we say an angel investor, people think of those individuals on Shark Tank, right? Those really multi-millionaires who are super mega successful, and they say, oh, that's not me. But the reality is that a lot of people could fit into that category. So this, you know, this event on March 25th, that's about bringing awareness about what is angel investing, who qualifies, why do people do it, what does it look like? So I just want to reinforce that part again.
What does the angel investor ask for in return? Is that up in the air? Is that anything that they can?
No, it is. So for example, in the case of Flywheel and our 2019 competition, it's a convertible note, and that convertible note is actually starts off as debt with that company. So that the company takes on the debt, and once they've raised a certain amount, let's say $1 million, it converts into equity. So the investors are getting an equity stake in these companies. This is not a gift. It is not something that they write a check and say,
good luck.
No, it is actually a real equity piece in the company. And they know it's high risk, but they're not doing it only because they want to support this effort. They want to see a return. They want to put those dollars to work. And they want to diversify their investment portfolio, and this is one of the ways to do that.
So equity investing of this sort or angel investing of this sort is not a gift. It's a real investment, and they're going to be your partner through the life of the company, no doubt.
That's correct. So we have a fund manager each year for the investment fund, and that fund manager then works with that entrepreneur until they hopefully sell 5 to 7 years.
What do you think the result is going to be in 10 years? Or is somebody as big as Yahoo or Google going to come into town and make a big splash? Or is it going to be increasingly an environment for smaller companies to thrive?
You know, I wish I could tell you exactly what it would look like. I can tell you I hope that we will create a community where more entrepreneurs and more small companies can grow. We'd also love to be a location for second offices. So we've got a lot of tech giants in Seattle. I'm not saying that we need a tech giant in this town, but wouldn't it be great for even some of these companies that have 150 employees for them to have a remote office in North Central Washington? It's a great place, like Subsplash, to have another office for their employees. And I think that by marketing our region as being, one, open for business, and two, a source of capital, more entrepreneurs will be able to take the risk and move here because they'll know that they have the opportunity to grow.
They may be able to find a home here, but will they, in your estimation, find all the workers that they need?
I think that is an important part of the continuum that we have to start now. So that's why GWADA is very committed to being a partner and a leader, not only through GWADA, but we co-run the Apple STEM Network. So we're committed to really making sure our education and workforce development is a part of it, part of this process. They did a similar thing in Bend, Oregon, through the event called the Bend Venture Conference 15 years ago, and they've created this ecosystem there. So there is a model for the work that we're doing, and you know, we all have to do it together.
And based on the Bend model, it would be something that would be self-sustaining for Wenatchee, not just a satellite of Seattle.
Correct.
And that's a much better picture.
That's right. That's right.
And not only that, but the future of Wenatchee and technology has yet to be written. You can see that it's taking shape, but does it show you any particular direction? Because I don't see one. It's happening. It's flourishing in some ways, but it doesn't seem to have a personality yet.
So I would agree with you in that we have a lot of incredible technology in North Central Washington. And right now it's siloed into industries. So we've got incredible innovation inside of healthcare, right? The work that Confluence Health, is doing at our agriculture employers, Stimilt, you know, look at what they just built, in terms of their tech. So I think we have an opportunity to define who we are in terms of tech, but also to hold an open door and not just say we're one thing. I think that's a benefit as well. When I'm over in Seattle, people ask me a lot, oh, are you just doing ag tech? So, well, we have a natural fit for ag tech, but software like a Will of Cartogram with indoor mapping for hospitals, I mean, that's just a software application that he's been able to build. That business can be anywhere.
Of course.
So I think that we have an opportunity to have some natural strengths and to incubate a particular market, but I think also holding an open door primes us for better success.
It's interesting that you described the major industries in the Valley have already made their transition to tech, Stimilt being a good example.
That's right, absolutely. They are leaders in technology, and that's why I feel very lucky at GWADA to not only work with these companies, but through our events be able to showcase and highlight that. Because when you're driving down the road and you just see a warehouse, you may not see as a community member all the incredible technology going on inside of it.
Until you get that beautifully formed apple at home without a blemish on it. And then how did they do that?
Right.
Jenny Rosenasathien is my very special guest. She's the head woman of GWADA. The tech business community turns to GWADA whenever they need an answer. We'll be back to continue our conversation on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. And
goal, to lose weight or stop smoking without any willpower. 100% guaranteed. So whether you need to lose weight or want to stop smoking, join Mark Patrick Hypnosis tonight at the Windgate by Wyndham Hotel, 1735 East Kittleson Road. Doors open 30 minutes prior to seminars. Go to markpatrickseminars.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ, I'm Michael Knight. Jenny Rosenasathien is my guest. She's with GWADA, the Greater Wenatchee Area Technology Alliance.
It's like a tongue twister, right?
God, I can't do that.
I know, and I have a very long name and then a long nonprofit, so that's why Jenny at GWADA is all people need to know. They can find us online for all the details.
There's a lot of events going on this month now that if you're not accustomed to it, it's already March, even though it's 2 degrees outside early in the morning. let's talk about, let's reset the situation with the Tech Talk and Happy Hour, some of the things that people can enjoy this month, and especially if you have a new business and or you want to make some transitions to a technological edge to your business, you should attend the Tech Talk and Happy Hour, which is coming up March 7th.
That's correct. Tech Talk and Happy Hour is March 7th at Badger Mountain Brewery from 4:30 to 6. We'll have two featured speakers, which are GTC Technical Support and Mission Ridge. Also just a great opportunity for networking if you're not leading on the technical side. And then next week, immediately following that, we're doing a tech tour of GTC Technical Support. So it's a great way to kind of come out on March 7th at Badger Mountain Brewery, meet the team at GTC, and then go tour their facility the next week. It's their 20th anniversary celebration. So it's an opportunity for not only GWADA, but GTC Technical Support to invite the community in for this open house style event, as well as tours of their facility.
And when you get to do the entrepreneurs and the venture capitalist thing, Angela Jackson's coming up from Portland. She's a venture capitalist who's actually written checks and started companies, right?
That's right. She's 15 years as an angel investor. And what's really cool is that she also serves at Portland State University Center for Entrepreneurship and manages their business accelerator. So she also has a lens and a experience working with companies coming out through the university and how they're using, you know, their resources there to support entrepreneurs. So
you can meet her at the Confluence Technology Center on March 25th.
That's right.
And it's a morning deal, 8:30 it starts.
That is correct.
And Jenny Rosenstein, if you were to say, what's the next big thing for GWADA, what do you think it is?
It's the Flywheel Investment Conference.
I knew the answer.
Yes,
to that.
You did.
How do we get involved?
It is April 18th. It's going to be downtown Wenatchee. The two ways to get involved. You can always go to the GWADA website, which is going to link you out. We have a website just for Flywheel, flywheelconference.com. At the Flywheel Investment Conference, we're going to have six early-stage companies competing for $100,000. So this is our version of a Shark Tank event. The community is invited to purchase tickets, to come to the educational seminars, watch the company competition, and also hear from some great speakers.
The future's right there. That's why we can't see it. Jenny Rosenstein's got a better look at it than I do. Thanks for coming by, Jenny.
Thanks for having me.
It's The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.